for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of July the 4th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carol Canada is the speaker for the evening.
Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for life. And Lord, we just pray that you just begin to open the windows of heaven to us tonight. And I pray that a shaft of glory would come down and rest upon these precious ones who are here tonight. I pray, Lord, for an anointing of love to pour forth, Lord, as the balm of Gilead. And I pray, God, that you rebuke every evil spirit that would try and rob, that would try and hinder the blessings of God. We take authority over every demonic power that would try and resist the Holy Spirit. And we say, devil, you're a liar. We break the power of intimidation off of these people in the name of Jesus. And we command the enemy to bow under the feet of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you give us an anointing to hear the word of the Lord tonight, that your name may be glorified. And everyone said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I've been here since Sunday. We've had a wonderful time. And, you know, when you hear that many days, you begin to develop relationships with people that you've not known before. And it's going to be kind of sad to leave tomorrow because I feel like you're my family and I love you very much. And I'm going to be praying for many of you as we go on the road. But if you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to the book of Hosea? And I'm going to share with you a message the Lord birthed within me last summer entitled A Love That Would Not Die, the story of Hosea and Gomer. I was wrestling, trying to figure out the word of the Lord for tonight, and this is what I feel the Lord wants me to share with you tonight, a love that would not die. How many of you know that Satan is attacking the church today as never before? And how many of you know that the way that he attacks the church is he attacks the family? And the way that he attacks the family is he attacks mom and dad, the marriage. So if the marriage is weak, the family's weak. And if the family's weak, then the church will be weak. And God is strengthening the church in this hour. And there is an anointing across this land to minister to families. There's an anointing to minister to the marriages and to children and their parents. And I want you to know, don't have a deaf ear to what God is doing, because it's all across this land. There is a mighty anointing to bring healing to fathers and children and restoration in those areas. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who took to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. The book of Hosea, if I can back up a little bit and set the stage for my scriptures, Hosea was a prophet to northern Israel shortly before it went into Assyrian captivity. And although the nation was in its heyday of prosperity, it was caught in the throes of a fatal spiritual decline. The whole social life of Israel had become demoralized. The priests or pastors in that day had turned bandit in order to increase their revenues. There was swearing and lying and killing, and there was adultery, and the family life had degenerated to the point that the very foundations of society were breaking up. The social conditions in Hosea's day were similar to the conditions in our day. There were corrupt leaders. There was unstable family life. There was widespread immorality. There was racial hatred, as there is today, and there was poverty. The people continued a form of worship to God, but idolatry was more and more accepted, and the priest failed in guiding the people in the ways of righteousness. The book of Hosea is about a people who needed to hear the love of God, and about a God who wanted to tell them of his love. God wanted his people to know his love that reached out to unlikely and unworthy individuals. A love which guided and gently disciplined, and which persisted in spite of the people's running and resisting. In the chapter 11 of Hosea, God says, "How can I give up my people?" He said, "How shall I deliver them up to their enemy? For my heart is turned within me, and my repentings are kindled together." Hosea was a national prophet who was highly respected. What he spoke held weight. He was friends of rulers and friends of kings, and he lived his life in a fishbowl for everyone to see. He was a very tender man. He was full of love, and he was full of mercy. It was the kind of mercy that's a loyal covenant love. It's extended to others because it has been experienced in one's own relationship with God. You can't truly be a merciful person until you first have received mercy in your own life. And Hosea loved a woman named Gomer. Gomer had a sordid past. She had a reputation of being a harlot. She was a prostitute, and she was a woman who had had many lovers in her lifetime. God said, "I'm going to allow you to marry this woman you love, and I will use this marriage to reveal the heart of my people. Hosea, I'm going to use your life as a picture to preach a sermon to my people. For they have broken my heart, and they have rejected me and turned away from me to go after other gods." How many of you know that God uses our lives to preach sermons to those around us? That people are watching us in our workplace, in our home, with our neighbors, in our neighborhood, in our communities. Our lives should be preaching a sermon of the love of God and the mercy of the Lord. Well, after the marriage, Gomer enjoyed the position of being the national prophet's wife. She liked all the attention and the notoriety. And for a while, she even felt that she was something special. She felt she had value and worth for a change. Hosea had bought her expensive clothes and built her a beautiful house. And there were servants at her beck and call. She lived a life of ease. Hosea knew everything about her, every sordid detail of her life, yet he loved her unconditionally. He said, "Gomer, I know you've had a tendency to be a little wild and to go after other lovers. But," he said, "I'm going to pull you out of that mess, and I'm going to make a lady out of you because I believe in you, because I see potential in you, because I love you. And I see what you can be." Now, Hosea is a type of God the Father. And Gomer is a type of the bride or the church of Jesus Christ. So remember that as I'm preaching this message to you. The marriage was wonderful for a period of time. But it wasn't long that Gomer started getting a little restless at her position as wife to the national prophet. And she began staying away from home more and more. She had changed for a little while, but her true nature began to resurface, and her love for her husband was not like it was in the beginning. She found herself being bored with him and his lifestyle. So she began to get in touch with some old friends that she used to hang around with while she was in the world. How many of you remember the first time that you met Jesus and the first love? And some of you were probably wild, and some of you were even dangerous when you met Jesus. Because you were determined that everyone you loved and you met needed to hear about the message of Jesus. And you wanted them to feel the love that you had felt from him. Amen? God said, "I have loved my people, brought them under my wing, given them my name. But my people have gotten bored with me. They don't fear me any longer. And there's no love in them for me. And they're beginning to drift back to their old nature. They want to be like their neighbors, the world, rather than the God who loves them so much. Gomer got pregnant. And her children didn't look like Hosea because they were children of her wanderings. Each child's name signified a divine message to Israel. The first child's name was Jezreel, which means the seed of God. But it signifies the scattered seed of God, or impending judgment upon Israel. How many of our children have been scattered and left the fold and gone their own way and become children of whoredom because of our sins or our sins of our forefathers? Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." The second child that was born, it was a girl. And by this time, Hosea realized that his wife had been unfaithful to him. And the child was called Lo-Ruhamah, meaning not to be pitied, or no love, or no mercy. God said, "My people do not love me any longer. Therefore, I will not have mercy on them." God had shown them great mercy, but they had abused his favor and forfeited his mercy. Though God has borne long, he will not bear always with a people that hate to be reformed. He wants us to be transformed into the image of Jesus. But there is a promise to that the mercy would be returned after idolatry was put away. Thank God that he's a God of second chances in our lives. When the third child was born, it was a son. And this son was called Lo-Ammi, or Ammi, meaning not my people, implying that Hosea disowned this child completely. The child was a child of Gomer's wanderings, the fruit of her life. This birth signified the utter rejection of Israel for a time and a season. When they were told that God would no more have mercy on them, they regarded it not. But they were conceited and they thought in their hearts, "We're God's children. He'll never leave us. He'll never turn us over to our enemy." There's something in each of us that think we can go our own way and do our own thing and yield to spiritual whoredom and still feel God will not abandon us. "He won't turn me over to my enemy. I'm still married to him. I'm still in covenant with him, even though I live the way I want." Hosea did everything he could to keep Gomer at home and keep her from leaving him. He built a hedge of thorns around the compound where they lived that make her wanderings hard, that they wouldn't come easy to her. How many of you know the way of a backslider is hard? God will raise up difficulties and troubles and frustrations to keep us from straying too far from him. And every one of us in this room tonight can say amen to that. But this was all in vain, because after the birth of the third child, Gomer left home altogether to become a common harlot. She left her home, the place of protection and the place of safety, and she went back into the streets to live a life full of lust, of perversion, and every kind of evil known to mankind. Though Gomer forsook her marriage vows for other lovers, Hosea had never lost his love for her. His heart ached for her just to touch her once again, to hear her laughter once more. The writer George Robinson once said, "In all the world of literature, there is no record of human love like that of Hosea. His passion for Gomer was no explosive flash of strong emotion." In other words, it wasn't lust that burned. Rather, it was a consuming fire shut up in his bones, which no infidelity on her part could weaken or personal suffering on his part could quench. When we wander away from God, his heart aches for us. Hosea's heart ached for Gomer just to touch her again and to tell her that he loved her. He was grieved over the loss of his family. His family had become dysfunctional. We hear that word a lot, don't we? A dysfunctional family. Well, Hosea's family had become a dysfunctional family, full of shame and reproach for the whole world to see. Gomer's living it up in the world, but it begins to take toll on her. Her lovers become weary of her, and the excitement isn't there anymore. The luster's gone from her life, and she's lost her beauty. She can't make a living any longer being a harlot, so she's sold into slavery. Her wanderings have led her into captivity. Can I repeat that again? Her wanderings have led her into captivity. Satan is a merciless foe. He doesn't play fair. He has no mercy. Sin, we're hurt, we hear, is a pleasure for a season. But when Satan has us in his captivity, he'll use us up and then cast us aside and sell us on a slave block. The church needs deliverance in this hour. That's why we're here this week. We know that we need deliverance. But with deliverance, we need healing. Many times, devils can be cast out of us, but there is another step to this. I'm here to tell you. We need the healing and the love of God to come in and heal us of that place where the enemy took a hold in us years ago. We need to know the love of God in measures that we've not known for our own sake for the days ahead. We need to know the kind of love that I'm talking about tonight. That's where my scriptures began in Hosea 3:1. God said and spoke to Hosea again. He said, Hosea, it's time for you to go and get Gomer. Get up and go get her. He said, I won't be robbed of what belongs to me. He said, Gomer is mine. She represents my people. And the devil might think he owns her, but they're still mine. Go and get her and bring her back home where she belongs. So Hosea, go get her and bring her back. So what does Hosea do? He begins to search for her. And he goes back into town and he began to ask people, have you seen my wife? She's a little petite lady with pretty blue eyes and radiant hair that shines. He looked everywhere for her. And someone said to him, we heard she had moved down in the red light district. Maybe she's down there. Well, he knew all too well that was the worst area of the city. That he rushes down there and he comes upon an auction. They were selling slaves in this auction. It was toward the end of the day, and as his eyes began to race through the crowd, he looked up and there she was. He found her on the slave block. She was dirty and she had the look of death. She was half naked. And the clothes that she wore were filthy rags. Her eyes were no longer beautifully blue eyes. They were dark. And they were filled with grief and sadness. Her hair was matted and it was uncombed. And she had given all the love that she had to her lovers. And they had used her up and cast her aside and sold her into slavery. She had no more value to those lovers. She was worthless to the men who had promised her everything for a moment of pleasure. Cloaked with shame, it was the darkest day of her life. She was filled with despair and hopelessness, and she wanted to die. If I could just die. Hosea looked at her, and with his heart racing, he walked toward her. His love for her had grown stronger in her absence. Now he ached for her to hold her once again. He was just in time for the bidding. No one offered much for her, but he raised his voice and he yelled, 15 shekels of silver. He said, I'll give you 15 shekels for her and a homer and a half of barley. It was more than anyone else offered. And the auctioneer yelled out, sold to the prophet Hosea. He walked up to her and their eyes met for the first time. She was so empty inside, and all that was in her was shame and disgrace that she had brought upon him, the children, and herself. She whispered, how could you ever love me again? How could you ever forgive me for what I've done and what I've become? Hosea took his cloak off. And he wrapped it around her broken, bruised body. And with it, he covered her nakedness. He removed her shame. And I can hear him say to her, because I love you. I've never stopped loving you. My love for you has grown stronger through the time of separation. My love will cover you, Gomer, for love covers a multitude of sin. It's time to go back home now, Gomer. I've come to get you and take you back to where you belong. You don't have to struggle. He said, you don't even have to walk. He said, I'm going to carry you back home. And he took her back and brought her in his arms, and he took her back to the home that he had built for her. And there were maids there waiting for her, and they bathed her and perfumed her and oiled her and fixed her hair where it was no longer matted and uncombed. But yet she was not immediately restored to her position and her authority in that household. She was put in seclusion, and her rights as a wife were not restored until a time as her affection for her husband was fully revived. She was in a time and a place of discipline and of testing to see that if she would remain faithful to Hosea or would she run off again. She had to return to her first love for her husband. She had to fall in love with him all over again. And then she would be restored to her rightful position as bride to the bridegroom. Some of you haven't experienced the restoration of your life or even some of the answers to prayers because God is waiting for you and I to fall in love with him all over again. He wants to revive us again. He's calling us out of the graveyards of the past. He wants to raise us from spiritual death. Because without this love that I'm talking about, we're just religious, self-righteous people who hold and cling to a form of godliness that seemingly do everything right. And we think that we're good and God owes us something. But how many of you know there's no good thing within us except Jesus that lives and dwells within us? I love the story I heard about the bellwethered shepherd. And years ago when they had the shepherds and the sheep, there were sheep that they would tend. They would tend their flocks, and there seemingly was always one or two sheep that or little lambs that were rebellious. But that shepherd would leave his flock, and he would always go after the rebellious sheep. He would have to sometimes go into dangerous terrains and even risk his own life to rescue the little sheep. Maybe that was caught in a thicket or over a cliff. And there was and many times that if this little sheep would continue to be rebellious, he would have to take stronger measures, the shepherd would. And he would even sometimes even have to break the leg of one of those sheep. But what he would do after he broke the leg of that little sheep is he would carry that little sheep everywhere he went around his shoulders. How many of you ever seen a painting with a shepherd with a sheep around his shoulders? And he would carry that, doing his daily duties of tending the other sheep. He would carry that sheep with that broken leg until the leg healed. And then he would put the sheep back into the fold. But when the sheep is healed, it would never leave the shepherd's side again. It stayed as close as it could to the shepherd. That little sheep would even help the shepherd go after stray sheep and bring them back home again. How many of you had broken legs that you've been wounded and hurt? But through the healing process, some of you have not even known that God has been carrying you until that you heal. But when we're healed, what do? We want to stay as close to that shepherd as we can. And we'll even go after other sheep who've gone astray and bring them back home again. Yes. Is that true? Yes. This is a love that I'm talking about. We've got to get back to this kind of first love. We've got to remember the love of God. It's so easy to get busy doing things. And we even get burnt out. I'm guilty. Get burnt out doing works for God. And in all the hurts and the wounds and every disappointment of life, what happens? We somehow let that love begin to slip through our fingers. And we become tired and we even get bitter because we're hurt and people use us. And they take advantage. Don't they know what we do for the kingdom of God? And it's not long that we become very bitter, disappointed people where we've lost and left our first love. Hosea means deliverer. Gomer means complete. God said, I came to deliver you that you may be made complete. You can't be complete without deliverance and healing. I believe the saddest, most deceptive thing today is seeing the people in the church who attend every service, they pay their tithes, they've never been unfaithful to their spouse, yet they are cold and indifferent to the heart of God. They've left their first love. They never change, they never grow, they never mature spiritually. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is talking to the loveless church. And he says, I know that your works and your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they're apostles and they are not and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come and to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. When God removes the lampstand from our midst, he removes the illumination and the revelation of his word, the kind that brings deliverance and healing. He wants us to be returned to that first love. I believe I'm talking to every individual in this place because they cause us to stray from God and go our own way. Satan is doing all that he can to put us in situations that will cause us to lose our first love, to turn our hearts of our families against each other and the families of God against each other. God is calling us to come closer to him this night, for he has more for us than we ever dreamed in our own lifetime. I remember a story, and I'm fixing to close, and we're going to pray, of a minister in the Azusa Street Revival and the Great Outpouring at the turn of the century. And the old man was named Valdez. And Valdez had had great meetings. He had seen many saved and many delivered and many miracles in his ministry. But he had also seen a lot of the other negative part. And he found himself not being able to feel God anymore or find God. He'd become numb and he couldn't feel. He was burnt out. And the story goes that he would go from little church to little church, hoping that he could somehow get a breakthrough and reach God because he couldn't feel God. And finally one night he was kind of at the end of his rope and he'd found a little church in a rural town. And he sat on the back pew of this little church and the preacher preached about the mercy drops of God. And at the altar call came, Brother Valdez made his way up to the altar. And he stood before the Lord with his hands up in the air. And he said, God, is there not yet one mercy drop for me this night? Do you not have one mercy drop for me? And about that time, he felt a drop hit his forehead and began to just kind of go down his face. And he knew that that was the Holy Spirit dropping on him a mercy drop. And all the heavens opened up to him. And he found himself in the presence of God again. And God began to do a healing and a restoration of his very soul. I heard a song Rusty Goodman wrote before he died. And it's a song that has ministered to me. And I want to share it with you. It's called Who Am I? And when I think about Gomer, oh, I wasn't a prostitute or a harlot. But in my walk with God, I have strayed from my Father. I've been that backslider I'm talking to you about tonight. I've been the busy Christian doing the right things, yet grown cold in my spirit. But I think of myself and I think of Gomer when I think of this song, and it goes something like this. When I think how he came so far from glory, he came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I. He suffered pain and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary he took. took my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I? Then I'm reminded of these words, I'll leave you never, just be true, and I will give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, for he would fight my battles until they're all won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, but to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I? Isn't that beautiful? Would you stand to your feet? There are many things in our lives that can cause us to lose our first love. It can be betrayals. It can be maybe a miscarriage in your life, or an abortion, a bad marriage. It could be incest or molestation. It could be abuse, verbal abuse. It could be hurt by your dearest, closest friend. Only God knows what is in your heart this night. But how many of you would say to me, and by doing that, you're saying to God, I want my first love back. I want to fall in love with you all over again. Would you lift your hands to the Lord if I'm talking to you tonight? Father, you see the hands and the people that are being honest with you. And I pray, Lord, that you do a mighty sovereign work in them this night. I pray, Lord, that you cut away those things of the past. Like Sister Coffey taught on, the evil soul ties to people that have held them in a tomb, that have held them in a cave of the past. And I pray, Lord, that you bring them out of those tombs into resurrection life, and that you baptize them again with their first love. That you fill them, Lord, with that first love that they knew in the beginning, when they wanted the whole world to know about this Jesus that had seen fit to find them and pick them up out of the sewers of life and save them. God, fill us, Lord, with a new love tonight. I want every one of you to close your eyes and just say, Father, from the bottom of my heart, I choose this night to forgive the whole world, to forgive everybody who's wounded and hurt me, who's betrayed me, who abused me. I forgive myself, and I ask you, Lord, to come in and cleanse me tonight by the blood of Jesus. Just bathe me in that fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Cleanse me, Lord. Give me a bath tonight, Lord, in your blood, in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to ask, before we go on, because I want to do some more praying, I want to ask if there's anyone here tonight that does not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, but tonight you want to make him Lord of your life. Would you lift your hand if there's anyone here that this would be your night, that you would come to know Jesus. Is there anyone here? I assume that we are all children of God and that Jesus indwells us. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for married couples. I wasn't going to do this, but somehow God won't let me get away from it. So I want you men that are here with their wives to take her by the hand. And I want you to come up to the front with your wife. Now, those of you who are not married or are married and your spouse isn't here, just wait. And I want you to pray with me an intercession. An intercession, because we'll pray for the other ones in just a minute. But we're going to strengthen the church tonight. Amen? Is everyone that's married with your spouse? Come on, if there's anybody, come on. Everyone, we want everyone here. Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Some of you have done this with us, but pretend it's your first time. I know this is what keeps our marriage healthy. Don't think for a minute the devil does not attack our marriage. He does. But these are good things for us, Jack. But I want you men to turn to your little bride and take both of her hands. Would you do that and kind of get as close as you can to her? Kind of eyeball to eyeball, would you do that? And those in the audience, would you just pray with us? Because I believe all heaven is witnessing this tonight. This is a reverence time. I believe that I have such a reverence for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I know some of you might giggle or laugh because it's nervous, but kind of get that over with so we can get serious. And I want you to look eyeball to eyeball at one another. And I'm going to begin with the men. And I'm going to ask the men if they would repeat after me. And it's a prayer of confession. And men, would you say to your little bride, say, I love you, honey.
I love you, honey.
And I thank God for you. Tonight, I ask our Heavenly Father, and I ask you to forgive me for every time that I've hurt you, that I've wounded you,
that
I've not nurtured you.
I've spoken to you out of anger,
and I've bruised your spirit. Forgive me for turning a deaf ear to you.
Forgive me for turning a deaf ear to you.
When I didn't realize you were crying out.
When I didn't realize you were crying out.
Forgive me for controlling you.
Forgive me for controlling you.
I ask our Heavenly Father.
I ask our Heavenly Father.
And I ask you tonight.
I ask you tonight.
To forgive me. Will you forgive me? Now women, look right at him, his eyes, and say, I forgive you. Say it again, I forgive you. One more time, I forgive you. Now, women, it's your turn. Hold steady. Look right into the eyes of your prince and say, honey, I love you. You are a gift of love to me. You're my prince in shining armor. Tonight, I ask our Heavenly Father, and I ask you to forgive me for all the times that I've been discontented, that I've complained, that I've grumbled, that I've controlled you out of my fears. Forgive me for building walls between us in our marriage bed. Forgive me for the times that I rejected you and that I did not encourage you. Forgive me for not guarding your back. Forgive me for speaking words of death out of my anger. I ask our Heavenly Father and I ask you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Now look in her eyes. Say, I forgive you. Say again, I forgive you. Say it one more time, I forgive you. Now take her in your arms and hold her. And I want all of you to say, Father, forgive us for every time we've grieved your heart. We've grieved your spirit. by hurting one another. Forgive us for neglecting that first love. Forgive us for neglecting you, Lord. We rededicate our love to you first and to each other for as long as we shall live. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may kiss your bride. And you can return to your seat. You know what? Wait a minute. Couples, wait a minute. I think you should stand back up here because I think maybe God wants to do some body ministry tonight. Why don't you stand back up here and kind of face the front? And those of you who are having problems in your marriage, I want you to make your way to one of these couples and we're going to pray for you tonight. Or if you're not married and you want to be married, or if you're divorced, or if you're a widow and you just need a touch tonight of His love, I want you to make your way up. You guys, turn toward the audience. If you want prayer tonight, come on up. Whatever your need is, whether you're not married or you're divorced or you're a widow, or you're married and you're having problems that need healing, come on up here and find someone here. I assume all of you have wonderful marriages. But Father, we just pray right now. Let's just pray. Yeah. Tell them your need and let them pray for you. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this time, this night together, this word. Father, we ask you, Father, the word not depart from us, Father. Begin to stir the love of God in our hearts. Father God, we can begin to express ourselves in word and deed, Father God, and ask you to take all the anger and the hurts out of us, Father God, so we can begin to project the image that you want us to project in the Spirit of God, Father. We ask you to bless this crowd, bless these people tonight, Father God, as we dismiss, have a time of fellowship, Father. As these begin to continue to minister to the altar, Father, we ask you to bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Hug somebody's neck. You're dismissed for tonight. We'll see you in the morning. These here up front continue to minister. If you feel led to help minister up here, come on, be a part of that. God bless you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.